Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This morning at the Values Voter Summit, a gathering of religious conservatives, President Trump played to his base.
The American founders invoked our Creator four times in the Declaration of Independence. Four times. How times have changed, but you know what? Now they're changing back again. Just remember that.
Well, meanwhile, for the second week in a row, a member of Trump's inner circle stepped before reporters to say he's not quitting or being fired. Lots to talk about in our Friday roundtable. Joining us today, Jesse Holland of the Associated Press. Hi, Jesse.
How you doing?
Doing well. And Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC News and MSNBC. Hi, Beth.
Hello.
And Beth, let me start with you on the issue of health care. Yesterday, President Trump signed an executive order opening the door for cheaper, less regulated group plans. And late last night, he decided to end the subsidies that help people pay for coverage under the Affordable Care Act. This morning, he said this.
One by one, it's going to come down and we're going to have great health care in our country. We are going to have great health care in our country. We're taking a little different route than we had hoped. Because getting Congress, they forgot what their pledges were. So we're going a little different route. But you know what? In the end, it's going to be just as effective, and maybe it'll even be better.
Beth, is he just trying to sabotage Obamacare, and aren't a lot of people going to suffer because of it?
Well, that's just it. This war that he's waged against Obamacare from the beginning isn't just about politics. It's actually about people and people's health care and people's coverage. He has been very intent on dismantling President Obama's legacy in many areas, but his focus on Obamacare has been the primary goal of his through the campaign and until now. So he's found a way to snip away at the law because it was not overturned by Congress, as he noted there in that soundbite that you just played. But guess what? This could cause massive disruption in the marketplace, and he will own this. He no longer can call this Obamacare if he is going to take these kind of steps to change the law, to change people's coverage. Republicans own this. President Trump is going to own the outcome of this, and we have yet to see what that's going to look like. But it's not going to be good. People are very, very concerned about their health care under any circumstances and changes to their insurance. So if this creates a massive disruption in the marketplace, it's going to fall to President Trump to answer for it.
Well, Jesse Holland, let's explain. Because the banners on CNN and in all the headlines, it says, you know, President Trump ending subsidies to poor people. He's not. By law, under Obamacare, those subsidies, you know, have to go to, you know, the insurance companies have to help cover the poorer people. He's ending the subsidies to the insurance companies. They're going to have to get that money somewhere else, and they're going to probably get it from a lot of Trump supporters.
Right. Well, the thing that is going to affect people here is going to be their premiums. What we're going to see from this, unless Congress immediately steps in and does something, which honestly is unlikely, what we're going to see is people will be paying more for their health insurance.
Right. And not poor. I want to make that clear. The poorer people still have to get these subsidies. That's the law. He's not changing the law, which is, you know, Obamacare. They will still get their subsidies, but those insurance companies are going to lose $7 billion.
And if we know corporations the way we do, they're going to find a way to make up that money. Right. And usually what happens is they raise prices on consumers. So we don't really – this is putting us into uncharted territory. We have no idea what's going to happen yet. And this has been done without any study or without any congressional hearings. This is something the president's doing on his own. If things go sideways, we now have Trump care instead of Obamacare. And the Republicans – and the president are going to have to own it. Now, the president said that he thinks that this is going to make Democrats come to him and renegotiate Obamacare. Well, they might just sit back and say, hey, this is Trump care. This is what you voted for. Let's see how it works.
Well, speaking of President Trump trying to get Democrats to come in and talk with him, what about DACA, Beth? I mean, he thinks that Democrats are going to come back and start to change the terms of that deal that he made with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Is that going to happen, or what do you expect to happen with DACA?
Well, it's a very strange sort of political chess game that's going on here around DACA because, as you guys know, Democrats are in no hurry to cooperate with President Trump on almost anything. On the other hand, those lawmakers who have significant numbers of DACA recipients in their districts don't want those folks to face deportation. So they really do – they're under political pressure to figure out some sort of solution so that those folks are not going to be endangered. However, President Trump is also playing a strange game of political chess here too, because one of his signature promises during the campaign was to really crack down on illegal immigration. That's a very important issue to his base. Now he seems to be wobbling on that. On the one hand, he said he had made a deal with Chuck and Nancy, as he was referring to the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, the senior Democrat in the House, to protect the DACA recipients. Then last week, his administration released a list of conditions to protect the DACA recipients that included things like building the wall, which Democrats are never going to agree to. So it's hard to see what President Trump is trying to do here. He's expressing all sorts of concern and compassion for the DACA recipients, but he's also wavered back and forth about what kind of negotiation or what kind of deal he's willing to do in order to protect them. And it's absolutely clear that Democrats will not support anything that involves building the wall. So that puts pressure on them too, because if they are not going to play ball with President Trump, if those are his terms, those DACA recipients in their districts will be in trouble.
Hmm. Well, you say it's hard to see what President Trump is trying to do. As we all know and listeners know, there's been a lot of reporting this week, a lot of it anonymously sourced, that what he's trying to do is flail out, and he's angry, and he's angry at everybody in the White House, and there's divisions and there's chaos. Yesterday, Chief of Staff John Kelly, who we all remember was brought in to, it was said, keep the president from tweeting and to keep some calm, and there's been all sorts of reporting that he's had it, and his relationship with Trump has deteriorated. He made a remarkable appearance yesterday and spoke about that.
Although I read it all the time, pretty consistently, I'm not quitting today. I don't believe, and I just talked to the president, I don't think I'm being fired today. I am not so frustrated in this job that I'm thinking of leaving. I would tell you.
Jesse, your comments on that.
Well, the key words in that statement from John Kelly is the words today. I'm not being fired today. I'm not going to quit today. That leaves the rest of the year wide open.
Well, I mean, he might say, "Oh, you're searching. I came out and made this remarkable statement."
Well, I mean, just the fact that you have to make that statement makes, especially here in Washington, throws another light on it all, on everything. The fact that the chief of staff has to come out and say, no, 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 guys, I'm really not being fired. No, 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 I'm really not leaving. What does that say about the state of the White House itself? It's one of those incredible moments that you see where someone has to say, oh, by the way, I'm really not being fired. That just shows the incredible chess game, the incredible Game of Thrones environment inside the White House where people have to assure the public that, no, I'm still going to be here. That's just incredible just by itself.
Well, and it just shows, Beth, the chaos that is clearly going on in the White House, as much as they'll deny it. To have this happen every week and a Secretary of Health and Human Services leave, and then the next week we've got the Secretary of State coming out and saying, I'm not quitting, and John, I mean, it's just, doesn't it appear to be chaos?
Well, General Kelly was a very effective spokesman, I thought, yesterday for President Trump. He comes off as such a sort of steadying presence. He seemed very smart. He seemed very calm. He placed a whole sort of new blanket onto the Trump White House and all of those stories of chaos. So they would probably be very smart to have him go out and talk to the press often, because he did convey a greater sense of calm than we believe to be going on under
the
surface.
That is something that they said about Anthony Scaramucci, I think, that he – what a great voice for the White House, and he lasted something like 10 days, right?
Well, he really was a disrupting influence inside the White House. General Kelly is not, but you know, General Kelly is under a lot of stress in this job. There's a concern, widespread concern, that if people like General Kelly or Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, were to leave, who would want to replace them in those jobs? So there's some pressure for them to stay around, to keep that sense of stability that the two of them are trying to convey. But there's a lot of pressure on everybody within this White House and within this administration. The president is very hard to work with. He's erratic, as we can see.
Well, I'm going to jump in to say that one of these articles we're talking about is the one in Vanity Fair, where reporter Gabriel Sherman says he spoke with prominent Republican and Trump advisors who say the president is unraveling. Now, his former chief strategist, Steve Bannon, also even warned the president about the 25th Amendment and, you know, the fact that the cabinet, there might be a coup to remove him. Isn't that, though, Jesse, your thoughts, is that partly to gin up the base to, you know, to even put that thought out there?
Well, Trump is at his best when he has an enemy to fight against. So this helps him by saying it's us against them. It's me against the cabinet. It's me against the Democrats. It's me against the liberal media. It's me against somebody. Trump is at his best when he has an enemy. So they seem to keep finding enemies for him to fight against, whether it's the NFL, whether it's the Democrats, whether it's Republicans, whether it's Bob Corker. He is at his best when he has someone to fight against. So they keep finding someone to fight against.
Yeah.
And so he just keeps on going.
Well, and at his best, maybe it's not the way that everyone sees how he is when he's got an enemy to fight against. But Jesse Holland with the Associated Press and Beth Fooey with NBC News and MSNBC, thank you. Quite a week. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.